Kings vs. Mavs, part two. Will the sequel be better than the first installment?
It better be.
It has to be.
Yeah. This is better be like, I would say Dark Knight, probably, right? That's one of those where the second is probably better than the first. It's not
Without
often.
Without a doubt.
It's
Without
not often doubt. That yeah. you get that to be the case.
Yeah, Empire Strikes in there. Back.
Yeah, people mm-hmm. would say that for sure.
I thought I was the only one. I've recently found out that people like Empire Strikes Back. I thought I was different, and then I found out that a lot
Are
of
you,
people like
People
that.
Think that's the best one. That's the general consensus. That's the best Star Wars movie.
Well, now I know.
Okay. I really like Clone Wars. Nobody ever. You want to talk about nobody
you mean
ever
Attack
agreeing
of the
with
clones?
Me? Ah, that one too. Yeah.
Clone Wars wasn't that a
Attack
commercial?
Clones, yeah, Clone,
yeah, or
Clone
the
Wars
show?
Was the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like Pixar?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pixar
People
adjacent.
Say that one's great though. People okay. say the show is great.
Yeah. I just yeah. I don't know. You seen X-Men, Alan?
No, oh, yeah. I know.
The
I know.
X2 pretty good.
Everyone keeps mm-hmm. asking me. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, you're talking about the cartoon one?
Yeah, the new
no,
one.
I haven't watched that yet. No.
Got to get into it.
Yeah, got to get into it.
All right, and we will get into some of these calls. Let's hear from TC, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Hey, listen, what's up, bro? Hey, so I agree with all the points that y'all said about the good takeaways from the season, but also I know we dropped a few games to like teams we should have beat, but the defense is better, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think that's a huge one, TC.
Yeah, but the defense is way better than last year. Last year, we were trying to outscore everybody. This year, we're actually stopping people a little bit, but also getting ours. Our offense struggled a little bit, but our defense is better.
That's
sure.
That's a good one. Thanks for the call, TC. Add that to the list, Chris. So now we're at six.
Yeah, just in terms of the general team. Yeah, like the team in general feels like they mm-hmm. have made a major, especially, I mean, obviously here recently, feels like they've made a major, major leap on the defensive end. I'm trying to get the exact numbers here. Last year, the Kings' defensive rating, so points per 100 possessions, sat at 24th in the league, 116 points per 100 possessions. This year, they are sitting at 16th at 115.2. So almost a full point per 100 possessions taken away. It's not insignificant at all, but it's definitely an improvement, and it's something we talked about really for the entirety of the offseason was, can these guys just get to league average on defense? And they are quite literally right on the cusp. They are tied with the Warriors for 15th best in the NBA. So, yeah, I would definitely say that's a really, really big improvement or a nice step forward. Again, just a nice step forward for this team, something to build on moving forward.
Have some sequels coming in that are better
Beautiful.
Than the Beautiful. Original From the 916, our guy Steven, Aliens is better than Alien.
Okay.
That's a right. toss-up, depending on the type of person you are.
Okay. Depending on the type of person
yeah.
that you are.
I love
Curtis
Aliens.
Hicks on the Sack Chat. Terminator 2 is better than
Again,
Terminator 1.
I don't know. I don't know. Mm. I don't. It's a it's a very similar situation. But
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, there's plenty out there that aren't. Did you know that there was a Lion King 2?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah, there's did also you know, like a Lion King.
It's a straight,
one
yeah,
and
straight
a half.
To DVD or straight
yeah,
to VHS.
Yeah, one and a half. Did you know that yeah. there is an Aladdin 2?
Yeah, this, I did know that, Disney yeah. did all yeah. this. They wanted to capitalize on all their animated movies, so they did VHS.
Sometimes it's not better. I'll tell you one that
Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2
Doc
is. But you're right.
Doc Ock. Yeah. Yes.
And like you said, X2 is way better than yeah. X1.
Yeah. I would also say, and I know I find a way to talk about this movie. I think once a week, D2 Mighty Ducks is better than the first.
You do talk
it's
about
better
this
than
movie
the first one.
A yeah. crazy amount.
It's better
Mighty
than the first
Ducks
one.
It's brought up at least once
yeah.
a week.
Yeah, I do have a Ducks jersey. I was so torn. I was so sad when the Anaheim Ducks changed their logo.
I know, yeah.
I think they brought it back though.
Yeah, they brought it back. It's like an alternate though. For them.
They had one T ride on the Sack Chat also saying Spider-Man 2
yeah.
better than 1.
Yeah.
We're looking for good
better
sequels better
than the
sequels.
Original.
Joe Girosa, our guy, Paddington
oh.
2 and
oh
Top
God,
and
Joe,
Top Gun.
I can't.
Top Gun Maverick okay. better than the originals. Brandon Deisman, Godfather 2.
Yeah. I'm a Godfather 1 personally, but
we're seeing a trend with you, Nate. Yeah.
I know.
You like the OGs. You well, like the originals.
Well, Empire Strikes Back is way better than the original Star Wars.
That's the only one so
and
far.
That's no Dark Knight's better than Batman Begins. X2's better than X1. Spider-Man 2's better than Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, but those they're specific movies.
There's four.
They're specific movies that you
yeah
you've said.
I might be
hey,
a snob.
I think you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that is what I'm saying.
Maybe I went to school for it. I don't know, to be a snob.
There you go. Keep the sequels coming in. We will continue to read them as the Kings hope that the sequel is better than the original tonight against the Mavs. Chris, this is from the 916. What were the moves, if any, that Monte may have attempted at the trade deadline that didn't work out?
Well, I mean, there seems to be a lot of murmurs out there that they did kick the tires on a Kyle Kuzma trade. I mean, obviously, we were in the building when Toronto Raptors fiasco went down. We had straight up Shams tweets saying it feels like things are trending towards a deal here with Pascal Siakam, and then whatever ended up happening, he backed out, or the Kings found out he didn't have any intentions of staying long term, whatever. But those were definitely the big, I guess you could say, three that were really, you know, heavily rumored to be discussed. I don't think we ever officially got, you know, these guys are actively in conversations with these guys, but. Mm-hmm. You can kind of read between the lines with the rumors that at the very least some phone calls were made, but all of those are very, very big, big moves. And I think a lot of them would have required probably, you know, one or both of HB and Herder plus picks. And I just think the Kings weren't ready to make that move yet. And the case with the Pascal thing was, from what we heard, was they asked for Keegan Murray and they asked for Malik Monk. And those are two non-starters for the Kings. Not in terms of starting lineup, but in terms of negotiations, those are non-starters. I think it never really got to any serious negotiations with really any of those guys. Maybe you can believe the Pascal thing, but I just kind of don't believe that was really ever as close as what was actually reported.
Yeah, there are definitely some things that we heard as far as Pascal. And by the way, what a different time that was.
Yeah, pre-deadline. Feels like 3 years ago.
It does feel like it was a really long time ago.
It was pre-Vegas for us.
Pre-Vegas. Just a different time, and what a time to be alive. Nothing got done. But really, Kuzma, I think, was the biggest. Behind Pascal. Yeah. I think they were in on Pascal. Couldn't get there. And that's all she wrote. We really didn't hear too much about some of the smaller names, if you will.
The Royce O'Neals.
Yeah, we didn't even hear
Caruso
anything.
Didn't seem like there was much tires kicked. I remember last year at the deadline, Matisse Thybulle was a name that was thrown out a ton. Mm-hmm. Didn't really seem like we heard those same low-level players in rumors like we did last year either.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Yeah. We head into the last 10 games of the season with who you got.
Yep.
And not only is it who you originally had, it's less than what you had because there's no Kevin Herter. And Sasha Vezenkov, I was reading, Chris, during the break, officially questionable, right?
Yeah.
And
Brendan Nunes wrote a nice piece about Sasha in the timeline of his injury yesterday on the website as well. I would heavily recommend people go read that.
Long story short, he's probably not playing tonight.
I don't want to read too much into it, but after reading Brendan's article about Sasha's quotes, I'm just going to read these quotes. Like, and I think we played Sasha's audio yesterday.
Yes.
And hearing the audio, it didn't sound. I didn't hear anything that really sparked my interest. But
no,
reading the quotes just reading them without any context.
Okay.
I just want to hear what you think. With 2 days off, the Kings found time to practice Thursday. I'm feeling better, Vezenkov said. Getting to the right direction, trying hard every day. Unfortunately, it's the second injury to the same leg. Let's see here. There was another quote. That one, first off, just really sparked my interest. Here's the other one. With daily variance and pain levels and proper movement, he's unsure when he'll be able to return, but also acknowledge that it's more mental than physical at this point. Quote, I need to feel good, Sasha said. It's stressful. I want to help my team, but I'm trying to be 100% to be ready to help them. When I heard those quotes, it just doesn't sound like, to me, Sasha's coming back next week. That, to me, sounds like I'm just a while away. Like, I still have a lot of things that the bigger thing is, that doesn't sound like a sense of urgency when there's 10 games remaining. There's 2 weeks left, and he's saying, you know, that's trying hard every day, getting to the right direction.
With Trey Lyles
not
out.
In the right direction, going to with Trey Lyles out. Again, yeah, small window of opportunity here. Already we have questions of whether or not he'll even if he returned tonight, will he even get minutes? That question almost isn't even a question when Trey Lyles is back. So I don't know. After reading those quotes, maybe I could definitely be reading way too much into it, but I need to feel good. It's stressful. I want to help my team, but I'm trying to be 100% to be ready to help them. That doesn't sound like a guy who has two games this coming weekend and then there's eight games left. That doesn't sound like a guy who's really tracking towards being close to a return. And again, I could be reading too much into that, but to me, that doesn't sound like, yeah, excited to get out there. Oh, yeah, we've been ramping things up here recently and just excited to get out on the floor and help my guys towards a playoff push. He acknowledges missing 21 straight and last 21 straight mm-hmm. and 28 of his last 30, which is the longest he's been sidelined due to an injury in his career. Mind you, Sasha's 28 right now. He started playing professional basketball when he was 16. So this is the longest stretch Sasha has ever missed in his entire life. He's pretty 30 games, 28 of his last 30. That's about a European season. Mm-hmm. So he is not used to missing this much time. That's a lot of reconditioning. It's a lot of getting yourself, your shot in rhythm. And again, this is game 72 on. These are guys who have been playing in form. Sabonis and Barnes have played every game this season. You have guys who are so in form, so in shape right now. It wouldn't be fair to throw this guy out there and say, hey, I know everyone's ramping things up for playoff intensity right now. Go ahead. Go give us some good minutes. I just think that that's not putting him in a fair situation to succeed, which you could argue has been the case all season long, but it really doesn't sound like Sasha, to me, is in a mindset or in a physical state where he's really close to a return.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good. And we'll see. What a miss. What a miss, unfortunately, but it has not been whatever the expectations were. I'm sure they were higher than this when they were out there across the world trying to convince Sasha to come to the Kings, and for it to end the way it's ending, not what anybody was hoping for. When we return, the MVP ladder is back, and Sabonis still on it, doing his thing. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Sabonis still at number 6 on the MVP ladder. Got some more sequels to go through, Chris.
Ooh. Okay.
Electric Boogaloo.
Okay.
Major League 2. That's a good one. Major League 2. That was from the 916, yeah. Both from the 916, actually. Two different 916 numbers. Jess Escoto, Sister Act 2 was amazing. That's a
that
great
true?
One.
I think I've only seen the first one.
Oh, they're great. They're great.
Shout out Whoopi.
Sister Act 2 was great. Jess also said Sister Act 1 was
it's
great as well.
Really good.
BCH Custom Cabinetry. Jeepers Creepers 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had the pleasure.
It's a good one.
Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, I forgot.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I agree with that. Really? Brandon Deitzman, Bad Boys 2.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw Rush Hour 2 on there
yes,
as well.
Rush Hour 2
is great.
From Curtis, Rush Hour 2.
That's great.
That's a great one. And
Ghostbusters 2. I'll say that right now.
Is that the newer one?
No. They did one 5 years or something after the first one. It is.
Okay.
And now they're bringing back the revamped Ghostbusters 2. When I thought nobody liked the revamped Ghostbusters
in the first
one. Yeah, they redid it. Everybody complained.
Right.
And now number 2's coming out.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Which tells me that people like to complain but then go because they're not making number 2s if they're
not
making money.
That's exactly right. And so, I think they made a second It too, which I don't know.
I've had that saved. I just can't. It's
three, two. You have saved three.
And I might have. I don't know if I ever got around to it, but either way, it was 3 hours and change.
Three hours and change. No, brother. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's 0% chance.
Excuse me. 2 hours and 49 minutes.
Oh, that's your bad. That's your bad.
2 hours.
Get out of here.
What else can happen? Get out of the sewer.
You're right. Get out of there.
It's time.
Kill the clown.
Kill the clown and go. 3 hours?
Where are their parents?
3 hours is crazy.
Come on.
I'm to the point. And yeah, how long is...
For a sequel?
How long is Dune 2?
Oh, that's a great
question. Somebody would say Dune 2 is better, right?
Oh, I'll say that right now. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting to see it.
Yeah. I honestly loved it.
2 hours, 46 minutes.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
I know.
What's going on?
It was a quick... I loved it.
I mean, I don't even think Baby Styles is napping that long anymore. I don't know where I'm going to find that. Basically, when you have a young child or a baby, movies are essentially series. You're not... Anything over an hour and a half...
Can't do.
You're breaking that bad boy.
Yeah, okay.
You're just breaking it.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is a five-part series for me, Dune 2.
Exactly.
That's what it is. I've had Barbie in the chamber. I'm just thinking, when are we going to have the time?
Right. That one's good. That's definitely worth it. I would invest the time into that one.
Oh, it's 1 hour, 54 minutes. So it's a 3 hour, it's a three-part series for me.
Oppenheimer, that might be, if you want to do the Barbenheimer, that's where you might have to split that thing up.
3 hours for Oppenheimer?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you, man. I still haven't had the time to carve out for that.
Come on, man.
I hear it's great. Fantastic.
From the 916, 22 Jump Street.
Oh, 22 Jump Street was great. Mm-hmm. That was great. Yeah.
You know what wasn't great?
The first one's really good.
Ted 2.
Yeah.
I actually saw a pre-screening for Ted 2. I went to the Nielsen pre-screening where they don't tell you what you're going to see, so all the CGI wasn't finished and stuff.
Interesting.
And it was very they changed it pretty drastically.
I would imagine you kind of need CGI for, you know, the bear.
But if you go in knowing like, hey, we're working on it. I feel like it's better. You're trying to I don't know. Those are fun though.
I got a barbershop copy of Wolverine. That was like that as well.
Yeah, X-Men Origin. I remember that was...
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's not a movie you should watch without the CGI done.
I saw the same one.
Yeah.
I think
really
I saw the
bad.
Same
There's
one.
Like
it was
a
pretty
scene,
funny.
They're on a train, and I think maybe Cyclops is there, and it's just like a red laser.
That's crazy. I saw the same
goes
one.
Around.
That one, that must have hit the streets in
It did
a
leak
hurry.
Early. It did. I remember that.
It hit the streets in a hurry. And Sabonis is in a hurry to... raise up the MVP ladder, but he's still at number six, Chris. What are your thoughts?
I think that the NBA must just not like this man. Like, I don't know what else he needs to do. He literally is on this streak. It's the thing of, we can all acknowledge Domantas Sabonis isn't going to win MVP, but like, can for 1 week, like even the week that he breaks the 54 straight consecutive, can we just get him at number five?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a nice little paragraph about Domantas Sabonis' season? No. We have to see Jason Tatum. We have to see Giannis. We have to see Shea. And we got to see Luka and Jokic in the top five of the MVP. I can fully acknowledge Domantas Sabonis isn't going to win this thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this man has been stuck at number six, I think, for like a month and a half now. What does he have to do in order to get the respect of at least just creeping in for a week? You can take him out the next week, but just give him a little bit of a, hey, man, just wanted to take some time to acknowledge the season Domantas Sabonis has had. The Kings have been top 10 in defense these past 2 weeks, and Sabonis continues to put up double-doubles. Now, it's not going to happen. We're cooked. It's past that point of Sabonis getting the recognition. But it's just like, I just wanted 1 week where maybe Sabonis could creep in to that top five. But no, he's just been stuck at number six and no higher all season long.
Luka at number two?
Luka at number two is pretty crazy. For a six seed, for a team that before this week was an eight seed, that's where I'm like, come on, like just give me an acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can put a six seed or a seven seed, an eight seed at number two, what's your excuse for not putting a guy who leads the NBA in rebounds and assists this calendar year? Why can't you just sneak him in there just for a week? Jason Tatum's had this thing wrapped up all year. Mm-hmm. He's on the one seed, and he's clearly you don't think Jason Tatum's going to win MVP.
Right.
So what's the difference of just, again, for 1 week, just putting Sabonis in there? That's all he's been in the next five. I'm sorry.
No,
just,
it makes sense.
I just want to see.
And how bizarre Kevin Durant and Devin Booker continuing to be right one after the other.
Yep.
Kevin at seven and Devin at 8.
They're moving everybody else around. Yeah, Kevin was 8 last week. He's now 7. Booker was 9. He's now 8. AD wasn't ranked. He's now 9. Kawhi was 7. He's now 10. So they're messing around with everybody else. They're just like, nah, we like Sabonis there.
Yeah.
He can't do any better than what we've seen. So I just, you know, it's again, just another acknowledgement of the fact that doesn't matter what Sabonis does. He's in Sacramento. People have this narrative about him. He's just there, and they're not going to change. I mean, they just think he is a certain caliber of player, and they're never, ever, 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 doesn't matter what he does, they are not going to ever step over the line of, you know, he actually might be better than what I thought initially.
Yeah, it does speak to how the Kings are viewed nationally, and he got a bit of love. Answer me this. How can he be, and obviously Shaq isn't a part of this, but how can he be in the big man alliance whatever it is and move into the big man alliance this season but still not be able to sniff that top five? I mean, people were talking about Jason Tatum and how he wasn't doing enough, right? And he's sitting there pleading his case. So that's just how it is. Hopefully Sabonis can come out tonight. I'll tell you this much.
And for what it's worth, Sabonis was 7th last year in the actual MVP voting.
Interesting.
So it's like he's gotten the acknowledgement before, but even then they're saying, you know, I know the league has gotten better across the board, but they're still pretty much saying, you're only moving up one spot. And the names that were up there last year, for what it's worth, Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, Tatum, Shea, Donovan Mitchell, Sabonis, and then Luka.
We had a caller earlier who had a couple things to say, but one of them was about how this team gets a bit frazzled when Sabonis can't get going. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this much, Sabonis might drop in the MVP if he has another bad showing against Derek Lively as he did a couple nights ago. We understand, and we had the conversation last week, we understand how good De'Aaron Fox is, but Sabonis really starts everything off on the right foot and or the wrong foot for this team. Chris, this is the one thing, as we've broken down Luka on offense and Luka on defense, and you have to make shots, obviously, and maybe some of that will help Sabonis. But that's the one thing where, and I know you mentioned a fake handoff that he doesn't normally do. Early on in that game, he tried to take some open shots because Derek was giving it to him. But honestly, that is the one thing, looking at this matchup tonight, that is the one piece of this that I haven't really been able to figure out how you get Sabonis going. I mean, he is what he is.
Yeah.
And we've seen there are guys that just give him trouble. And if Derek Lively is going to be one of those guys now, I don't know how you, quote unquote, get him going tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a great question because, like you said, I mean, we've pretty much seen Sabonis' formula, and we've seen the guys that tend to give him problems and the guys that he can just absolutely dominate. And Lively looked, at least for that night, like a guy who Sabonis probably isn't going to be able to figure out. Bigger guys who are bigger than him and strength. It's really strength that's the biggest thing, and it seems like Lively has a good base on him, and so he's able to hold his weight and not just get shoved around and take that shoulder to the chest and really, you know, be willing to, again, stand his ground. I think Sabonis, he did, like you said, he took a couple mid-range shots. I think he took a one-handed floater or push shot.
And I don't know if he
made
any of them.
He missed another mid-range jumper. I would think he's got to hit his a three. We know that he doesn't take a ton of threes. He's got to be able to stretch out the floor and just keep him guessing, because that's the problem, is if Lively's just going to be able to stand there and hold his ground – again, we've seen that movie too many times. I just don't think that you're going to get a different result. Mm-hmm. He's got to make him think. He's got to make him say, okay, you know, I do have to step out on this three. Oh, I do have to cover him out there. And it's just about getting him off balance. And once Sabonis gets him guessing, that's where he can take advantage. But, you know, that's a whole lot easier said than done. I'm sure he tried to kind of do some of those things on Tuesday. You just got to make the shots. I mean, really, it's not that simple. You've talked about it actually in the past. He's kind of a two-level scorer right now. It feels like he's shown the ability to hit that three. Mm-hmm. He's obviously dominant in the paint. It's that mid-range game that he just hasn't quite figured out. I think that's the part of his game that he's got to be able to show it in order for that matchup to go more favorably for him. Or who knows, maybe just this time the shoulder creates a little bit more separation and maybe he doesn't hesitate as much. I think that was a big part of Tuesday as well. It felt like he kept trying to bait him into getting into the air instead of maybe taking it to him and going up with it. So maybe just more decisiveness on Sabonis' part.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And that's the one thing. The consistency is one thing that you've had with Sabonis, but ceiling factor and he can do this or he can break the game in any sort of way. It just hasn't been there. And if you have somebody that is just not going for any of the stuff that he normally does and gets other dudes with, I do think it's a good reminder for how much matchups matter.
Yeah.
And if the Kings do get into the playoffs, I'm trying to remember how Sabonis does against a Rudy Gobert, but I'm looking at some of the teams at the top, and Jokic, they essentially cancel each other out. Thunder, you feel good about that with Chet, and you feel pretty good about the T-Wolves. It's just these lower-tier teams that have – I mean, Zubac has given him problems this season, and Nurkic has given him, even though he's soft, Nurkic has given him a little bit of problems this season as well. Maybe we won't have to deal with it, but it does ask the question of how badly do you want to not be in the play-in? Because you get in the play-in, and I know he's done well with Anthony Davis, but I don't want to deal with the Lakers with the playoff berth on the line when the league is trying to milk LeBron James for everything he's got left. Looney, I saw with Kuminga out, Looney got some time. He really hadn't been playing that much, but Looney got time not too long ago doing Looney things. So we know what the recipe is. You got to find a way to power through today. I'm looking for Sabonis, honestly. Here's the thing about Sabonis taking a three. You take it if you have it, but if you are the defender, that doesn't change anything, right? You're not. He makes a three.
Yeah.
You're not going to come out. You have to take it because you're open, and we believe you can make it.
Right.
But they're not going to defend you differently. I feel like, crazy enough, you have to take two. You have to take two for anybody to even think about coming out there.
No, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Like, yeah, like you're probably going to say, oh, he made it. Like, yeah.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm going to go close out on
him.
And the Kings are
taking the points.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those where if you're the defense, that's the exact shot that we're willing to live with.
Yes.
It's a lot better him out there than him in the paint. You know, I think, again, I don't think it really necessarily changes completely how you would defend him. But even if it is, hey, I was completely just standing in the paint when you took it last time, at least this time I'll go out and put a hand up. Even that creates space. You know, it's having somebody who was formerly in the paint. Now, at the very least, even if it is for 1 second, they're now outside of that paint. You can get a cutter. You can get Sabonis to drive around him. It just opens up more options. So it's not the answer, but if we're talking about ways of just kind of getting Dallas to not look like how they looked last week, I mean, or on Tuesday, I would say that's a way of doing it, is just making them at the very least step out and stretch out their defense even a little. I think it can go a long way. So, you know, it's not the perfect idea, and even still, you're right, like, defenses are going to be more than okay with living with Sabonis taking that three. I just think he's got to do something to kind of pull Derek Lively out of that paint, because Sabonis, we saw, he can't really get much separation from him when he's posted up.
No, he can't, and the Kings are going to need literally all their bag of tricks tonight. And it's not a matter of – it feels so weird talking about the Mavericks like this, because the Mavericks were basically my Suns for you. You've never really worried about the Suns. I've never really worried about the Mavericks. In this new version of the Mavericks, I find myself being very worried about. And there's still a part of me that just doesn't believe. But at the same time, you have no choice but to believe, because the proof is in the pudding, and they just put it on the Kings a couple nights ago. So you have to believe that what they're doing right now is legit, and what Luka is doing is legit. He just, I'm telling you, man, he just moves so slow sometimes.
I'm just like,
there's no way that he's out here just cooking, and the Kings are going to be able to just run him out the building, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah. No, it's a lot easier said than done. And, you know, yeah, I still would love to see the Kings. I still think that that's a possibility, right? Like, it makes a lot of sense for you to get Dallas in transition on defense. The Kings did a terrible job of it last game. That's actually something that I feel like they should try and take advantage of. I think Dallas killed them in transition on Tuesday. That should be a category that the Kings win every single time. You got De'Aaron Fox, you got Domantas Sabonis getting the rebound and just straight up running. You should be killing teams all the time in fast break points. And you're completely right. They did not take advantage of that at all on Tuesday.
And if they come out the same way they came out on Tuesday, on Monday we're going to be talking about, hey, hopefully we host a play-in game. That's just where it is, and hopefully you don't have to go to Club Phoenix or wherever else in order to get it taken care of. But it's going to be outstanding atmosphere out there. It's going to be a little bit rainy, but I think everybody's still going to bring the energy. By the way, Chris, I meant to bring something up to you. And I will do that.
That's right.
On the other side. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
One thing that I wanted to talk to you about, Chris, as Frankie Cardicelli join us in about 5 minutes, who is boots on the ground out there in Oakland, in the town, checking out the A's as they lose their first game of the season, as did the Giants. We also have audio from Jung-Hoo Lee's first hit, the Korean broadcast. Very exciting. Not going to want to miss that. Also, some people coming down my road. On a tweet that I had, and I thought that I was very clear in the tweet, but apparently not clear enough. But first, Chris, man, so you've been my tour guide throughout my first season here,
yes,
in Sacramento with the Kings, and you didn't tell me that the Dallas Mavericks, that they were not on your list as fan bases that get down like this. There was a lot of Mavericks fans. Luka got cheers. Kyrie got cheers in Sacramento. You told me Miami.
Yep.
You told me Chicago. Yep. Lakers, Warriors, obviously. And I think maybe Boston, of course. And even this was louder than the Knicks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
What's up? Is that a thing?
That was not on my bingo card. I was very unaware that Dallas, I was not familiar with their game.
Not
I
at
had
all.
No idea. Maybe it was just because it was such a big game, but it was definitely a little surprising how many Dallas fans were in there, and I don't think I've seen it at that level before.
Okay.
Because it feels like, you know, especially if you're a Dallas fan here in Sacramento, you probably have a lot of things to say in terms of, you know, your Kings fans talking to you. I'm sure you've got some pretty good retorts back and forth. I would think that you would show up to as many of those games as possible, but it did feel like there was a bit of a special crowd there the other day for Dallas. I don't know if they have some local fan group or something like that, but they showed out and they knew exactly where to sit right behind their bench, which is also, you know, maybe played a factor. It is right in front of where we sit as well. So
maybe
we heard it all.
Yeah, maybe it sounded louder for us, but as people started to leave leave the game early, I mean,
the ratio got a little messed up.
It was pretty crazy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and my question is, I don't know what you Dallas Mavericks fans, because I know there's some double agents listening.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do for work, but if they got it like that to double up and show up again tonight.
Exactly.
Hopefully they took care of business on Tuesday they're not able to double up. But if they show up like they did on Tuesday tonight, I'm gonna be looking around thinking, man, maybe this Luka Doncic, maybe he's got some movement here with this face of the league thing. Because if this is new for you, right, this hasn't been a thing. And, I mean, I know a lot of people do like Kyrie.
That's what I was wondering,
okay,
too.
Okay, so you think it could be
more I don't know.
Well, it's probably just a mixed bag.
I know a lot of people also don't like Kyrie.
That's what I thought as well. But between the both of them, I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, no, I really wasn't either. It'll be interesting to see how tonight's crowd goes. Tonight's game is probably the bigger one, so at the very least, maybe we got the good crowd out the way for the big loss.
That's what I'm thinking.
And maybe tonight will be skewed a little bit more towards Sacramento Kings.
That's what I'm thinking.
Friday night. You're not trying to sell your season tickets if you got any. So it's a perfect opportunity. It's on NBA TV, so you still get some sort of national audience. It feels like a good enough game to stay if you're a season ticket holder. Hold on to these last games.
I think the Friday thing is a big piece of this. And people, they want to be out even with a little bit of rain or shine, and see that Friday beam. So I do think it will skew more Kings, but I don't think the Mavericks fans will come as correct as they did a couple nights ago. Well, the Giants nor the A's came correct in their home openers as they both lost, and I'm not going to talk about why I'm so upset that the Giants lost, but the A's, they lost in a couple different ways, and there was a lot of conversation about the attendance numbers and the boycott that was right outside in the parking lot. And one of the hardest working men in Sacramento media was out there, Frankie Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports insider, who beat the traffic. He's in there hanging out. He's doing his thing. Frankie, thanks for joining us.
I was there at a cool 1 o'clock, man. You know how it goes. I like to get there early and kind of get my, you know, get everything set up. And also, it was opening day. I had to watch my Yankees play the Astros as well, which, you know, I know you said the Giants and A's lost, but hey, the Yankees, they picked up a W yesterday.
I saw that. That's a long day for you. If you get there, you got to drive there, so you're taking off at about 11:30, 12 o'clock. You got the game. I don't know. There's no way you stayed for the whole game.
No, I left. I mean, again, parking lot was very full, so I wanted to make sure I got ahead of, you know, by the time everybody else was making their exodus, I wanted to make sure I was on my way. So about the seventh inning, I head for the exits, but different vibe yesterday. Obviously, opening day in Oakland, not quite like opening days of the past. And I've been to reverse boycotts before. Last year, I went to a few, and it's a weird vibe. I was telling my girlfriend this morning just how it feels like you're at like a wake, but everyone at the wake is upset and like angry and like trying to kind of find a way to vent. And I think that, you know, Chris and I and others in Sacramento area have kind of lived this before. We've lived through the Sacramento Kings potential relocation, having to go to here we buy nights, here we stay nights. Yeah. And last night was kind of a page out of that book. It felt exactly like that, being in the parking lot. Those that were in the building last night had different chance, and there weren't that many people. But it was just a very interesting night, and one that I wasn't really used to seeing, but kind of getting used to it after going to two or three now.
Yeah, Frank, I mean, I know you were inside of the game for a good portion of it, but I mean, can you try and paint a picture of what it looked like out in the parking lot? Like, I saw that they had screens out there, but was it pretty much just like the world's biggest tailgate out there? I mean, were they having gate? Like, just try and paint the picture. And then from the inside as well, like, could you hear what was going on the outside from inside the stadium?
Yeah, it felt like a big game if it happened. Like, I've been to an A's playoff game in 2012. And the best way I could equate it to is that, like, how the parking lot is just packed full. There were speakers playing music. There was a drum line that came out and was you know, performing for people that were there. Games were being played, multiple places you could play games, like cornhole or stuff like that. And when I was inside, there was a concert that was going on. And I thought it was the concert, but I found out the concert hadn't started yet. So what I was hearing was the drum line was continuing to perform. I heard, you know, the speakers, and it was all around the parking lot. And it wasn't like an isolated area where there's just one section of the parking lot that's just for go here. No, it was the entire Oakland Coliseum where Oracle used to be, Arena used to be.
Wow.
It just was a mass of people that were, you know, showcasing their displeasure in A's ownership. And it's something that was, I think, special for those that attended. And I talked to a couple of fans that mentioned that they were going to pop in and pop back out, just they wanted to go in. And, you know, obviously, for some people, it maybe would be the last time they see the A's, because a lot of people, as we know, are choosing not to go to these games because they would rather, you know, not watch a team they've loved their whole lives than put money into John Fisher's pocket. And that's kind of where a lot of these people are and a lot of where they stand. And it was pretty similar to a lot of people that I did have a chance to speak to. They just really were adamant they will not put money into those pockets. So it was the entire parking lot, very cool scene. And I'd imagine it won't be the last throughout the whole year. 80 more home games to go. I wonder how many more there will be, but it was a success, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see more.
Talking to Frankie Cardicelli, our Sactown Sports insider, who was boots on the ground out there in Oakland for opening day for the A's. Frankie, the biggest question and most important question that we have. 13,522. That
no way.
Was the attend. Okay. I was going to ask.
Absolutely
what,
not.
Okay. Just ballpark it. No pun intended. What did it look like was in there?
Well, they did it last year too. I went to one last year too. I think they tried saying for the reverse boycott there were less people, and this now that it's flip flopping. To me, honestly, I would say 5,000-6,000, maybe at the max. Maybe you could say make an argument for 7, but I mean, they're spread out and it's different. But just kind of looking around, and I was kind of trying to even just like gauge and count groups of people, and kind of use my super advanced
big
math
brain.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, from someone that, you know, we go to every Sacramento Kings game where roughly there's 17,000-18,000 people, there's just no way that there's that many people in the same place. Like, I definitely am used to seeing those kinds of crowds, and no, not the same. Even going to the Rivercats-Giants game, that seemed just way more full, way more people. So, not sure who's in charge of putting that number out, but, I mean, every outlet I've seen and everyone
else
in attendance.
We know who's in charge.
Who's in charge? Oh, John?
It's someone connected. We know that, Frankie.
Oh, you don't want to drop any scoops, huh? you can save those for tonight at the media table.
That's right. That's right. Frankie, before we let you go, we talk so much about the fans that obviously don't want to put money in John Fisher's pocket. We've discussed that a lot. Did you get a chance to talk to anybody that was in there? And just, I'm just wondering, and to everybody listening, you can call in too, just an A's fan that is just thinking, well, what else am I supposed to do? This is my team, and John Fisher is going to be a millionaire either way. What am I supposed to do? Did you happen to talk to anybody that was in there that just felt like I'm just going to enjoy baseball?
Yeah, I did have a chance to talk to one man who came there with his 7-year-old son, and he mentioned that, you know, he's been going to A's opening day games since he was 42, so he's been going to A's opening day games for like 35, 36 years, something like that. He said he started coming to those games when he was his son's age, and, you know, I can kind of reflect back to the Kings relocation saga too, because I looked at it the same way. You know, my parents take me to games and whatnot, so he was saying that, you know, this might be the last opening day that there ever will be in Oakland after all this time, and he didn't want to miss out on that chance to take his son, who's 7 and probably doesn't really know what's fully going on, and I think that's completely fair for people that want to have those lasting memories with their family or their children, because it does seem like this team's going to go, and that's really sad and unfortunate, and there isn't really an easy answer, and everyone does have a specific take or, you know, way of thinking about how to go about this, but I completely respect people that want to go about it that way. I think that he wasn't the only one that was doing it that way and won't be the only one that continues to do so throughout this season. But as this continues to go on, and then if the A's do call Sacramento home, I'm sure there'll be a lot more interesting conversations. But I would not fault anyone at all that wants to kind of go out there and get some lasting memories with their family. It does not seem like there should be a foul on that.
A true family guy, Frankie Cardicelli. Frankie, thank you so much, our Sactown Sports Insider. Go check out all Frankie's work on SactownSports.com, and Frankie will have even more for you after the Kings game, hopefully after a Friday beam. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, guys. See you for that prime rib tonight at the media table, boy.
That's right.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
It's going
to be good tonight. When we return, we continue to recap the Giants and A's. We will hear from Jung-Hoo Lee's first Korean hit for Major League Baseball, and hear the Korean broadcast on that. Also more on the A's boycott. Carmichael Dave had some things to say. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.